Welcome to Torah Deimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 5. In the last parak, we were confronted with the horrific sounds and sights of the impending destruction. In this parak, Hashem has a request for Yirmiyahu. In the book of Bereishis, Avram asked that if there were 10 righteous people, Sodom should be saved. Hashem asked Yirmiyahu to wander the streets of Yerushalayim to find even one person who lives with meshpat, justice, and interpersonal areas, and is mevakesh emunah, who seeks trust in Hashem. If he can find one person, the city would be saved. With Sodom, Hashem needs 10 people. Here, Hashem needs only one, as Hashem wants to give the nation a chance to learn and improve. The nation had begun their descent by seeking support from idols rather than relying on Hashem. Here, the nation needs one person who can reverse this course. The trait of emunah, faith, is the foundation of all the good a person can do. The criteria for this person that Yirmiyahu is seeking is that they need to be able to say an honest chai Hashem. They need to be able to swear in a court case with a neighbor to tell the truth. Right now, this does not exist. Lashekar yishaveyu. They swear falsely. When the nation sins, Hashem first punishes the leaders and great people. According to the Mincha Gedolah, this parak takes place after the exile of the Chayrish and Masker, the spiritual elites of the Jewish people, who are brought in the first wave of Galus to Babel. Now, the people left in Yerushalayim are weak. The Radak tells us that it is significant that Yirmiyahu is asked to wander the streets. All the good people have been driven underground to avoid persecution. So even if there were people of faith in Yerushalayim, they would not be visible from the streets. If Hashem is asking Yirmiyahu to find one person, how come he can't be that person? The reason is that the nation rejects him continuously, as we will see in later Prakim, so he can't be counted as the one. Technically, Yirmiyahu functioned as the one who prevented the Churban from coming to Yerushalayim. At the time of destruction, Hashem told Yirmiyahu to go to Anasos, because as long as he was in the city, it could not be destroyed. Yirmiyahu calls out to Hashem. He says in verse 3, Hashem, einecha halo le'emuna? Hashem, what you want is emuna, faith. A person's emuna impacts them in all areas. It determines how honest they will be, the interactions between man and other people, and his observance of the mitzvos. But the people are not getting the message. You punish them, but they don't change, Yirmiyahu says. Klisa me'anu kachas moser, chizku p'nehem misela me'anu lashuv. You have consumed them, but they refuse to take musar. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They refuse to return. Hashem, you have done everything you could. Yirmiyahu says, okay, maybe these are simple people. Fools, really. They are ignorant, so of course they sin. I have an idea. I'll go to the Gedolim, who the Radak defines as the upper class and nobility. They have time to learn Torah because they are wealthier and they are intelligent. Yirmiyahu goes and he finds that they also have abandoned Hashem and his commandments. Because of their sins, there are consequences. Verse 6 lists animals who will attack them. These animals are symbolic of the nations who will attack them and the manner of the attack they can anticipate. Just like Yehuda took others' money by finding rationalizations why it was okay, the nations will find different ways to take Yehuda's money, like the lion, wolf, and eagle have different attack patterns. Hashem asks how, verse 7, Elazos eslachlach, how can I forgive you? They have served idols, sworn in the names of foreign gods, vaspia osam vayinafu, meaning Hashem made them materially comfortable, and they used their wealth to commit adultery and lead a promiscuous lifestyle. They have corrupted what it means to live a Torah life. With all their material wealth, they follow their base instincts like a horse, as it says in verse 8. They were like susim miuzanim, well-fed horses, who when well-fed lusts and then satisfies his desire at night, so when he wakes up in the morning, he is jolly. Hashem wonders, verse 9, ha'al eila lo'ef kod, should I not punish these things? It is such a chilul Hashem. Rav Breuer adds that if Hashem does not punish a nation, it would send the message that Hashem supports what they are doing. The nations will now be the messengers of Hashem's vengeance to destroy Yerushalayim and its palaces, but not to completely decimate the Jewish people. In verse 10, Hashem gives directions to the nations. He compares the Jewish people to the vineyard. He wants the nation to go into the rows of vines and weed out the problematic shoots, but not to destroy the whole vineyard. Nebuchadnezzar will be that messenger. As Yirmiyahu is telling Yehuda that they were unfaithful, they deny this on two counts. They say, verse 12, Lo hu, not him. Hashem is not the one who did good for us, and so we don't owe Hashem anything. And, V'lo savo aleinu ra'a, v'chere v'ra'av lo nir'eh. Evil won't come on us, neither will we see sword nor famine. Yehuda has now denied that there is reward and punishment in the world. Rav Breuer explains the progression of these psukim. First, Yehuda was drawn after their desires and acted like horses. Their conscience bothered them, so they needed to rationalize their behavior, and that is why they found reasons to deny Hashem's existence and his involvement in their life. The nation continues by denying the predictions of harsh consequences as laid out by the Torah and the Nevi'im. If they deny Hashem, then surely he couldn't have communicated with Nevi'im. Verse 13, V'hanevi'im yiyu l'ruach, and the prophets become like wind. They are speaking to the air with no one listening. The Malbim says Yehuda has now denied three fundamental principles of Judaism. They deny that Hashem exists, they deny that there is reward and punishment, and they deny that Moshe heard the Torah from Hashem at Har Sinai and that the curses in the Torah are true. As a result of this heresy, where the people deny that the Nevi'im are legitimate, Hashem, according to the Radak, empowers the Nevi'im to do even more. The Nevi'im can now declare punishments on the nation. Verse 14. Hineni nosein devarai b'ficha le'esh, v'ha'am hazeh etzim, v'achala sam. I will make my words in your mouth, fire, and this people will be like wood, and it shall devour them. Yirmiyahu has the capability to cause pain to the nation, but he never tries to do this. Instead, he is always intervening and asking Hashem to help the nation. The punishment will come from a nation that Hashem will bring with the sole purpose of punishing them. Verse 15, Hinni mevi eleichem goy mimerachak beis Yisrael. Behold, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, house of Israel. This nation is not coming because of border disputes. They are only coming because Hashem has decided it is time to end the sins of Yehuda. They will be an extremely powerful, fully armed force. Verse 16, Ashpaso kegever pasuach. Each soldier has a quiver that holds all their arrows, which is as wide as an open grave. And all the enemy soldiers, kulam giborim, all are mighty men. Verse 17, Rav Breuer says that everything the Jews are proud of will be destroyed. Their harvests and their bread, their sons and their daughters, their sheep and cattle, their vines and fig trees. The listing of the destruction mixes the most important, the people, with the most mundane, their bread. In the chaos of battle, there is indiscriminate destruction. For the third time, Hashem promises, verse 18, Lo easeh etchem kala, I will not make a full end of you. The Abarbanel supplies an amazing insight based on this repeated promise. The nation could be hoping to be destroyed so they could finally escape their troubles. Hashem is saying the only way to end this is to do tshuva. There will be a small remnant that survives and is exiled, and they will ask. Verse 19, Tachas meh asa Hashem Elokeinu lanu eskol eila. Why has Hashem, who is a merciful God, done all these things to us who are his children? The Navi will answer that they served foreign gods, and so now they will serve foreigners in a foreign land. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to again speak to the Beis Yaakov and to make known in Yehuda. The Mishpaso Zahav once again points out that Yirmiyahu is addressing the Beis Yaakov, the women, first. When the women of the nation were God-fearing, they saved the Jewish people. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah. At the time of the Churban, the women were leading the nation to sin, and the impact was just as great. They are the first who need to hear the message Yirmiyahu is saying. Yirmiyahu tells them they are being foolish. They are not thinking things through logically. They have eyes but don't see, so they are not learning from their own experiences. And they have ears but don't listen, so they are not learning from the experience of others. There are only three ways to learn: to use one's logic, by learning from one's own life, or by learning from the life of others. If a person closes themselves off from learning, they can never change. Indeed, they are acting like the idols they serve, as described in Hallel, who also are made with eyes and ears and do not see. The main issue is that the people don't fear Hashem. Hashem has made this world with boundaries. Verse 22. In the world, there is water and there is sand. Asher samti chol gavol layam, chok olam velo yavrenu. Hashem has placed the sand as a boundary for the sea and as a law of nature that cannot be violated. No matter how determined water is to get onto land, wave after wave, it stays in the sea. Hamugalav v'lo ya'avrunehu. Though the waves roar, they cannot pass over it. Rashi says people are meant to learn Musar from the inanimate object with no free will who does not violate the word of Hashem. This nation, who has free will, they have a choice and they rebel. Verse 23. But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. Yirmiyahu looks deeper at their behavior. As to what is causing the nation not to fear Hashem, if even the sea and the shore fear Hashem, it comes because the people are ungrateful and don't appreciate the gifts Hashem gives them. Verse 24. V'lo amru bilvavam nirana es Hashem elkeinu. They don't say in their heart, let us fear Hashem. Hanosein geshem yoru umalkosh, who gives us early rain and late rain, be'ito, at the right season, shavuos chukos katsir yishmar lanu, that keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. As a result of their stubbornness, as a result of their not being able to see and acknowledge the gifts Hashem gives them, they lose these gifts and they are plagued by drought. Yirmiyahu returns with a response to Hashem's initial request to look around for one righteous person. He says, verse 26, Ki nimtzu ba'ami rasha'im, among my people are only found wicked men. I haven't found any mevakshei emunah, seekers of faith, but I have found plenty of evil people. They laid traps as if to catch birds, but instead, anashim yolkodu, they catch men. Verse 27 compares what the evil people do to someone who raises birds. They manage to get all those birds to come to Olaf, which is kechluv malei of, a cage full of bird. It's stuffed full of birds, which should only happen because of trickery, because why would the birds put themselves in such an uncomfortable situation? Kein batehem malei mirama. Their houses are also full of deceit. Their homes are filled with stolen merchandise and things acquired with trickery and corruption that enriched them and made them comfortable. Verse 28, these evil manipulators have become so rich that they became physically fat from all the luxurious food. They sin and don't do justice with the widows and orphans and the poor. The Targum says that they don't even do justice when it would benefit them and give them honor, because they are not even aware of the needs of anyone else. Hashem asks a rhetorical question. Shouldn't I punish for this, as he has said before? This corruption cannot stand. As a result, verse 20, Shama v'sharura nisa b'aretz, an appalling and horrible thing is coming to the land. Despite these warnings, Yirmiyahu acknowledges that there is little hope of change. The bird catchers are the false prophets and kohanim. Hanavim nib'u v'sheker, v'kohanim yirdu al yadehim. The prophets prophesy in falsehood, and the priests rule through them. The Mishpatot Zav explains their scheme. The Nevi'im and Kohanim have claimed that if everyone is cheating and lying, then no one really is cheating and lying, because being dishonest is okay. Va'mi ahavuchin. And rather than protesting against this, my people love this idea. The nation allows itself to be trapped by false promises and false ideas. After all the warnings and an unreceptive audience who want to rebel against Hashem, Yirmiyahu throws the question back to Hashem. Uma ta'asu l'achrisa. What then will you do in the end? In this perek, Hashem asks Yirmiyahu to find one person who lives a life of emunah. He is not able to, and as a result, Bavel, a nation from far away, will come and destroy Yehuda. The nation ignores what Hashem does for them and lives dishonest, corrupt, and licentious lives. Hashem will punish, but not destroy them completely. The lesson from this parak is that we must look at the root of all the sins. Hashem is looking for people who are mevakesh emuna, seeking faith. A person who has emuna lives an elevated life. A person without emuna ends up living a corrupt life full of material pleasures, but not much else. How do we become mevakesh emuna? How do we become seekers of faith? We need to look at the world around us and recognize the gifts Hashem has given us in the rain and the food we have, and also look at the laws of nature and recognize that everything in the world has boundaries. Sukkah de Zimra, the initial section of our morning tefillah, focuses on the glories of creation as it leads us to Emunah so we can pray to Hashem. If we use every day as an opportunity to recognize Hashem, we can be the one Hashem is seeking for our communities and in our world. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilei Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.